It's TechBiter Worldwide with Bill Blinn. The latest on programs and policies, helpful hints, and a bit of occasional nonsense. All in more or less plain English.
Podcast number 891 for the 19th of July, 2024. This week, even if you use an online backup service, it probably doesn't capture the operating system and the registry. An image backup application is needed if you want to avoid having to reinstall Windows and all the applications if your disk drive ever fails. The free Aomi Backupper application may be sufficient. In short circuits, you can have absolute madness on your computer if you're able to locate an old copy of Totally Mad from Broderbund Software, but there are some tricks to getting it installed. And everybody knows how to cut, copy, and paste text and images, but there's a better option than Control-V for pasting. I've been using Aomi Backupper Pro for several years to create an image backup of the primary computer's boot drive. There is a good reason for that, even though I have Backblaze for all of the data files. Backblaze and other continuous cloud-based backup systems don't play well with operating system files because there are frequent changes to those files, and the backup system gets bogged down while trying to keep up with the changes. This can cause a delay in backing up data files, it can cause excess network traffic, and system performance can bog down. Data files are the crucial bits that must be preserved. The operating system and settings can be replaced with relative ease, but that's not the case for financial records, photographs, home videos, and documents. Backing up the boot drive is something I do for my own convenience. It's easier to restore the operating system, registry, and other settings from backup than it is to have to recreate them from scratch. Now, although I said the operating system applications and settings can be replaced with relative ease, it is not a painless operation. I have installed a lot of applications and utilities. I have made a lot of changes to the operating system's settings. Reinstalling everything and replacing all of the settings would not be quick. When I format the boot drive and perform a full setup, as I do occasionally, it's a planned operation. I know which applications need to be deactivated, which system settings have to be saved separately for reinstallation, and which bits of the primary user's directory should be stored for later reuse. In fact, I copy the user directory from drive C to a separate drive on the 1st and the 15th of every month. That would give me a relatively recent clean copy that could be as much as half a month out of date. Not ideal, but better than nothing. In a planned operation, I would have a copy of the user directory that is less than a week old. The boot drive is also backed up twice a week, Sunday and Wednesday, using Backupper Pro, and I should be able to restore the entire operating system applications and settings from backup if a disaster occurs. That's the primary reason for maintaining a full system backup, because I know that a full manual installation can and will be about 90% complete within a day, but that additional work will continue for as long as a month and perhaps more. This actually is a fine example of the old adage, the first 90% of the task takes the first 90% of the time, and the remaining 10% of the task takes the other 90% of the time. Backups take about 15 minutes to an hour, depending on what needs to be backed up. I perform a full backup followed by 3 incremental backups, one each week. Then the process repeats, starting with a full backup. Incremental backups take less time because they are concerned with capturing only the files that have been changed since the previous full or incremental backup. To conserve disk space, I have Backupper Pro retain only the single most recent backup. There is a small risk to keeping only a single backup, but there are actually 2 backups on 2 different disks at any given time because they are performed on Sunday and Wednesday. The free Aomi Backupper Standard is a solid performer, but it does omit several features that are included in the $40 Pro version. Other versions range in price from $50 for the workstation version to $700 for the Technician Plus version, which is licensed to one user for use on any number of computers, workstations, and servers. All versions except the standard version include some cloud-based backup. Licenses are perpetual, but upgrades are priced separately. Higher cost options provide unlimited access to version updates, and those who choose an online backup option will have to either subscribe to an annual plan or purchase the upgrade every year. Backupper includes a disk wipe app to overwrite sensitive data, an Explorer function that provides insight into files that have been backed up, a backup integrity checker, and a sync function that backs up newly added or changed files to the destination. One minor problem I had with AOMI Backupper Pro is that there are some situations in which it is unable to find the target disk for the backup. This happens only if the backup drive mounts in a way that it is assigned an unexpected drive letter. This can happen if a USB thumb drive is mounted when the backup drive is attached. The application I use for weekly data backups, GoodSync, handles this issue much better. When it detects a target drive that is one that might not always have the same drive letter, it offers to use the disk's label instead. AOMI should consider adding that feature. For more information and to compare the various versions, check out the AOMI website. There's a link on the TechBiter Worldwide website, www.techbiter.com.
If you find these podcasts useful, and I hope you do, might you consider a donation? There are no ads here, and support from listeners is the sole source of income. It's easy. Just visit the website and click the donate button near the top of any page. You can make a one-time donation or schedule a repeating donation every month. I thank you. And so does the cat.
In Short Circuits, the original gang of idiots at Mad Magazine is long gone, but the magazine continues. Some of us old folks remember Mad fondly from the 1950s and later. If you'd like to relive some of those days of madness, there's a way to do it. Mad Magazine is what convinced me in the late 1950s and early 1960s that most adults are idiots. Having been an adult myself now for quite a few decades, it seems that very little has changed. But that doesn't answer the question. How can I read every edition of the original Mad Magazine on my computer? You didn't hear a question? Well, neither did I. But I'm going to answer it anyway. In 1999, Broderbund Software released Totally Mad. It's a boxed set of 7 CDs with every issue of Mad Magazine from number 1, which was released in October 1952, to version 376 in December of 1998. You'll also find more than 100 special issues. When released, the set sold for $70. You can find copies for about half that on eBay and elsewhere. If you were a Mad fan in those days, this seems like a great deal. Some of the early editions sell for thousands today. Not bad for a publication that started as a 10-cent comic book. The problem is that Broderbund hasn't been around for a very long time, and the program that runs Totally Mad won't install on Windows 10 or Windows 11. Or will it? In fact, it will. It just takes a bit of effort and a small amount of finagling. But it can be done, and I decided, at least for me, it's worth the effort. The January 1961 issue had a front cover and a back cover. Yeah, 2 covers. One with Nixon, the other with Kennedy. You'll be able to read classics like Starchy and Little Orphan Melvin. Don Martin's fold-ins are there, but copyright issues are likely the cause of a few omissions. Very few. In addition to every version of Mad Magazine from 1952 through 1998, you'll find 133 Mad Special Issues, 12 Mad Annuals, 7 Mad Follies, lots of Spy vs. Spy cartoons, a few interviews with the creators, a music clip or two, and even a couple of animations. It's worth the time, the small cost, and the finagling. At least it was to me. After I got Totally Mad installed using detailed instructions that I found on Blog or Die, and for which I have included a link on the TechBiter Worldwide website, I converted all of the CDs to ISO files so I don't need to dig out the CDs when I want to spend some quality time with the one publication that is probably more responsible for my life view than any other. There are some shortcomings. The text can be hard to read because the images are all JPEG files instead of PNGs. PNG was still new in 1999, so you'll just have to deal with the artifacts on JPEGs. And the resolution isn't great for pretty much the same reason. Screens were small and low res in those days. But I now have a most enjoyable resource for less than $50, a bit of time searching for installation instructions, and a few minutes of following those detailed instructions. Paste key, Control V, has been around for a very long time. Many people probably don't remember a time before Control C was used to copy, Control X was used to cut, and Control V was used to paste. But it wasn't always that way. In the days before PCs, at least on Digital Equipment Corporation computers, Control C was used to insert an end of text character. As text was scrolling down the screen, pressing Control C halted it. Using Ctrl-C to copy text and Ctrl-V to paste text elsewhere started with the Apple Lisa computer in 1983. Apple programmer Larry Tesler used the Apple key, not the control key, because the keyboard didn't have a control key, in combination with Z to undo something, X to cut text, C to copy text, and V to paste text. At one point, Microsoft tried defining Alt-Backspace as undo, Shift-Delete to cut, Control-Insert to copy, and Shift-Insert to paste. All that changed in 1992 when Microsoft switched to Control-Z, Control-X, Control-C, and Control-V for the functions. All of these keys still work, but there are very good reasons to use the Windows key and V instead of Control-V for pasting. Using Control-V pastes the most recent text or image you placed on the buffer with Control-C or Control-X. But have you ever copied more than one item and then been disappointed when you get the wrong bit of text or the wrong image when you paste it in with Control-V? Until recently, the buffer held just a single item. Now it holds many items. You can even place some items on the buffer so that they persist after you reboot the computer. And that's just the beginning. To keep something in the buffer until you delete it, use Control-C or Control-X, and then press the Windows key and V to open the list and click the pin icon. The text or image you've pinned will remain in the buffer even if you empty the buffer or restart the computer. This can be exceptionally handy if you frequently need the same bit of text, a path to a particular directory, for example. But as useful as that is, there's so much more. When you press the Windows key and V, you'll see icons across the top of the dialog. These provide access to your favorites, to emojis and GIFs, to currency symbols, and even to old-style ASCII emoticons. That's in addition to the text and images that you've placed in the buffer. Check out the Windows key and V. Thanks for listening to TechBiter Worldwide. I'm Bill Blinn. There's more on the website, techbiter.com, and if you have a question or a comment, use the contact link you'll find there. Stop by again next week for another session.